us how Christmas gets started earlier every year? We were out, it was the day after Halloween, and we were hearing Christmas music in the stores. Like the popular song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" It's interesting, do you realize that that was written back in 1962 as a plea for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis? It wasn't made popular until the following year when Bing Crosby sang it on a Bob Hope Christmas special. But it's a song whose message is of how God speaks through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. When Hebrews 12:15 tells us that we're to see to it that no one misses the grace of God, that tells us that some do fail to hear God speak through Jesus. They have no clue as to why the angels sang and the heavens rang. No clue whatsoever. Like atheists, which from the Greek means no God, they're the people who claim that there is no God, they deny his existence. And agnostics, which from the Greek means not knowing, as they claim not to know what to believe about God. But here's the thing. I think from experience, we've all met people who at one time did hear God speak, calling them to faith, but now they live their lives in such a way it's as though they no longer hear him speaking. They no longer hear him speaking. Yet Hebrews 1:2 says God still speaks through his Son, Jesus. So what's happened? Is it like the 90-something-year-old couple who's sitting in front of the warm, cozy fireplace? He turns to his hard-to-hearing wife and he says, "Dear, you're still my heart's desire." And she says, "What? Dear, you're still my heart's desire." "Yeah, well, I'm tired of you too. I'm going to bed." But seriously, over time, what becomes familiar? Well, people lose the fascination for it. They lose the fascination. You know, our culture encourages people to move on to something new and different all the time, right? So we'll buy and buy and consume more. And so I think what's happened is it's kind of like a child on Christmas morning. They open up a gift, they play with it for a few seconds, but then they see the next gift and they have to move on. People's lives get busy and they no longer hear God speaking. It's like the teenager who gets a brand new CD. He plays it over and over and over again. He gets tired of it. He puts it on the shelf. He forgets about it. People forget about God. They no longer hear him speaking. The more familiar something becomes, the less fascination it holds. As the newness fades, so does the wonder. And this is what happens with people in their relationship with God. And the good illustration is the Christmas story itself. As people hear it told, the old, old story, year after year after year, they lose the wonder of it. It just becomes an old, old story. They lose the wonder the shepherds had on the night they first saw and heard the angels. And so my hope is this Christmas season, as we revisit the Christmas season, we'll have the opportunity to rekindle the wonder. So that when you hear the expression, "Do you hear what I hear?" you'll once more hear God speak through the Christmas story, so that you begin to hear him speaking in your everyday life. You and I, we should both share the same wonder the shepherds had, the wonder that this Savior is for us. And why is that a wonder? Well, you may have heard that shepherds were despised, outcasts of society, because they carried the smell of the sheep that they virtually lived with. They slept with them at night to protect them from thieves and from wild animals. But when we know Scripture talks about shepherds in a kind of an elevated way, because the heroes of the faith, Abraham, Moses, David, they were all shepherds. What it tells us is that really they're just symbols of common everyday people, people like you and me. And so when the angelic host announcing Christ's birth didn't appear to royalty, didn't appear to the religious leaders of the day, didn't appear to the upper crust of society, appeared to shepherds. God was sending a message. He was sending a message. And something reinforced Luke 2, 10 to 12 that we heard read. The angel said the good news was for all, not some, but all people. And specifically added, a Savior has been born to you. To you, He is Christ the Lord. And paraphrasing, the angel said, since we know you're going to doubt it, God knows, He's got a special sign just for you shepherds. When you find the babe, you'll know it's Him because you're going to find Him lying in a cow's feeding trough. Wow. And so they went. And what we're to make of this is the good news, that if God accepts shepherds, if He would appear to shepherds, then He accepts all people, including you. Society may or may not have rejected the shepherds. They may have been outcasts because they didn't dress so nicely. Their hair wasn't cut as often. They didn't have the same kind of education. But to show how God gives His highest to the lowliest, that He gives His attention to the neglected, that He provides His riches to those who are in poverty, He gives wisdom to the humble, God came to the shepherds. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world symbolic of all people, He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever, again meaning whoever, doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter what station of life, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, whosoever would believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And what this tells us is, if there was room at the manger for shepherds, there was room at the manger for you and me. And if there's room at the manger, that means there's room at the cross. At the foot of the cross, where everybody stands on level ground. Because you see, we all come with the same need. We all have a need for a Savior because of our sin. Because what Christ was born into the world to do was to come and die, to take the punishment you and I deserve upon Himself for the things we've done that are outside of God's will. So the question this morning is, have you prayed and accepted the gift of God's Son for yourself? And of course, another element of the shepherd's wonder that we should share in, you and I both, is that God is with us always. God is with us always. Now, many of you know the name Emmanuel means God is with us. But it wasn't read in this passage, was it? So how do we know that the shepherds knew that God is with us? Well, scholars tell us it was the presence of the angels, which according to verse 13, the wording is such, it says, the heavenly host that they saw was just a portion of heaven's angels, just a small portion. But the angel's presence meant God was present. And the original readers of Luke's gospel would have recognized the word suddenly as the clue that this was a supernatural event. This was a God thing that happened. Without God being present, it would not have happened. And just like in Genesis 28, 12 and 13, where Jacob received his vision, a dream, of a stairway, literally from the Hebrew, a ladder that was resting on the earth with its top reaching into heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. They knew when you see angels, you know God is close. He's intimately close. He's present. And that was a clue Jesus gave to His disciples when they spoke to Him at the end of John chapter 1. They want to know who He was. For when Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel, after they realized that somehow supernaturally Jesus had seen them and heard them talking about Him at such a distance, and yet when they approached Him, He knew what they had been talking about. And Jesus' response was, verse 50, he said, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Because wherever there's angels, there's God. He's on the scene. And some think another affirmation of this is every occurrence of the word glory in the text. Like in verse 9, where it says, "The glory of the Lord shone around about them." Because that would be a reference to the Old Testament Shekinah glory, which always accompanied God's presence at the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple in Jerusalem. His majestic presence, showing that even after four centuries of silence, from the time of Malachi to Christ's birth, that God had not abandoned his people. He was still there for them. He was still for them. It's just that they didn't hear God speaking. Oh, they would have claimed that they heard God speaking, or that they were listening for him, rather, but they didn't hear him because their hearts were so far from the Lord. Their hearts would not attune to hearing him. Since the world hadn't gotten any better since the days of Malachi, when God brought his Son into the world, it shows the world didn't deserve it. They hadn't earned it. It was clearly just a God thing, a grace thing, his choice and his choice alone to give the world a Savior. God knew the world's situation. He knew that Jerusalem was occupied by the Romans. He knew that the temple was filled with corruption. He knew that the Pharisees were distorting what it means to worship God. God knew that the conditions were right, when according to Galatians 4:4, it was the fullness of time, and that the world's greatest need was for a Savior. All of which shows that even when something crazy, even when something unexpected happens in your life, God knows. God's not surprised by it. He knows your situation and he knows your need and how to fill that need. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, "What other nation," that word in the Hebrew can be what other people or group of people, "is so great." The sense of being great here is being so blessed. So what other people are so blessed as those that have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us? And that's not the end of the verse. The promise is here. It says, "The Lord our God is near us whenever we pray." You know, if you're here this morning and you don't feel that you've been hearing God in your life, and I'm not talking about an audible voice, "Jerry, here's what I want you to do," that kind of voice. But when you don't seem to be experiencing God's direction, when you don't seem to have his presence in your life, when you don't seem to have his power to do sometimes the difficult things, well, maybe it's because inherent in every relationship is that it's two-sided. So if you're not praying, if you're not talking to the Lord, chances are you're not going to hear from him. You're not going to hear from him. Because you see, Acts 17:27 says God won't force himself on us. Instead, what he does is he draws us to himself through the things that he allows to happen in our lives. The crises we go through, the difficulties we experience, the obstacles that we occur in our lives, so that we will choose to reach out to him. So the question is this morning, what's your situation? Is it something God is using to draw you to himself? Are you going through a difficult time, some type of hardship? Here's the thing, the good news of Romans 10:13 is that everyone, not just the biblically astute, not just the spiritually savvy, but everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the question is, whatever you're going through, whatever kind of difficulty it is it time to swallow your pride and pray and ask God for help? To ask God for direction as to what to do next. Raises another element of the shepherd's wonder that you and I should share in. And that's the gospel's impact on our lives. Now, I specifically use the word gospel, which many of you know means good news. Because while it can be argued that what changed the shepherds forever was their encounter with Christ, it really began with the message they heard that the angels proclaimed. When they proclaimed Jesus' significance, as they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." It's a phrase that means God deserves to be praised just for who he is. But the angels went on and they said, "And now God deserves to be praised for his great gift of salvation and the birth of this child, the Messiah, the Christ." Now, for the first time, the shalom God promised his people in the times of the Old Testament, not just peace, but a sense of well-being, could be theirs through this child. A sense of well-being, for the first time in their relationship with God and with others. In other words, through Jesus, people can live in harmony with God, have an everyday relationship with him, to no longer fear him, his anger, his wrath, his punishment for their sin, and on the flip side, they now have access to all of God's grace, all of his wisdom, strength, power, to live life to the fullest. You know, it wasn't long after my oldest brother went into the car business that my other brother became one of his customers. As my younger brother had saved, or my two brothers, the one saved his money, and he was willing to take the big car loan, and he bought one of the first Dodge Chargers that came off the production line. It was fancy. It was bright yellow with black racing stripes on it. And it was the first one in our hometown, Sanford. And the mechanics, because you know it has to go to the dealership, because they have to put the car mats in, they have to check the fluid levels, and make sure all the nuts and bolts are tightened down, right? Well, the mechanics decided they were going to take it for a little spin, just a test to make sure everything was good, because, you know, the miles on it was just about 4 miles, so who was going to notice if it was 7 miles, right? Well, they took it to a place and they decided, you know, I wonder how fast we can get it to go in just 60 seconds. Boom! They went right off the road into the ditch. Completely crumbled one side of the car. Now, thankfully, nobody was hurt. But you can imagine what their fear must have been to come back and tell the owner of the dealership what they had done. Can you imagine their fear in telling my brothers what they had done? That's going to pale in comparison to what Scripture says. People are going to fear with the coming of the Lord. Those who realize they're going to be held accountable for the evil things they've done to hurt others, take advantage of the weak, but others, when all of a sudden it comes to their realization that they're going to be held accountable for basically ignoring God, for being indifferent to him, they're going to be held accountable. And maybe this describes you. But here's the good news in the birth of this babe. It makes the angel's message good news, because in the Messiah, in the Christ, the ones the prophets talked about for generations, in Christ, people escape the punishment they deserve for their sins, for being indifferent to God, for outright rebellion to God. As verse 17 and 18 of the text said, when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. Some versions say all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them. In other words, the shepherds caught the wonder of Christmas and they passed it on. And they were changed and never the same. Never the same. Because you see, while they were still shepherds, they had become servants of God. They had become servants of God, evangelists as they began to spread the good news. The coming of Christ had revived their lives, gave them new meaning. What change? What wonder? And this morning it can be yours too. If you never before opened yourself up to the coming of Christ into your life, His presence in you can change you from the inside out. Give your life new meaning, new purpose. And if you're here struggling, if you're feeling like you're just hanging on, I invite you to invite Him to take control of your life, to change you, to transform you, to make something good out of whatever situation you're in right now. Is Jesus, is God speaking to you this morning? Do you hear what I hear? Let's pray.